Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids, some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
Yeah, I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton.
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game, Derek Mason, Braden Gall. Behind enemy lines here with Aaron Wilson from the Houston Chronicle covering the Houston Texans. You can follow him on Twitter at @AaronWilson_NFL. Aaron, which Houston Texans are we going to get this weekend? The one that beats the Patriots or the ones that get destroyed by Drew Locke? Which one are we going to get this weekend?
Honestly, I don't know, and I don't think they know. I think the Texans are an enigma right now. They are a really confusing team. I think it's probably not that complicated. They obviously, put all they had into the Patriots game. They overlooked the Broncos. We've had several players admit it was a trap game. They didn't say that before the game, of course, but after the loss, they admitted that that was what happened, and that's not good. And the fact is, it was always going to come down to just the way the Titans have been playing and the Texans have played fine. They just haven't, run away with the division. We were going to always have this scenario of these two games being pivotal to who's going to win the South Division, and that's where we are. But would it shock me if they came out and played very well Sunday, lost the game? No. I just don't think they'll play the way they did last week. I think that would be surprising if they're bad 2 weeks in a row, at least somewhat a little bit surprising to me. What I anticipate is them getting back to at least playing some competitive football, and we'll see what happens. But in my opinion, they won't look as bad as they did last week. They can't. It's unlikely that they would look that awful. It was terrible.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, that's not something that you typically see from a Texans football team. Now you look at what they because one thing that the Texans over the years they've been a really good defensive team, and it all starts and ends, I believe, with J.J. Watt in previous years. Now they have some guys on that defense that can play. Yes, they're missing J.J. Watt. But is that the reason why they're struggling on defense? Because to me, this is uncharacteristic of a Houston Texans defense led by Romeo Crennel, who I consider one of the best defensive coordinators in the league.
Right. He's outstanding. I mean, Romeo came up with a scheme. We thought that Tom Brady would pick them apart because, they don't have a rush. And then all of a sudden they manufactured one, and he came up with some things, some blitzes, and you saw Tom Brady was very affected in the pocket and wasn't usual Brady. And of course, as you can tell how upset he is with his receiving corps that he has to play with. But no one feels sorry for Tom Brady. He's got 6 Super Bowl rings. When you look at the way they play without Watt, which you don't have now, it's this manufacturer rush coming up with special things to get it. You don't have someone that's just going to beat his guy one-on-one very often. Jacob Martin has been really the spark. He's got 3.5 sacks, and Whitney Mercilus, they've neutralized him without having to double-team him. They have just single-blocked him, and he hasn't stepped to the forefront. And this is a contract year for Whitney. He started off the season very fast with 5.5 sacks and 4 forced fumbles, but he has fallen off since then. And they're last in the NFL in sacks per game since Watt got hurt. They are not a team that gets a lot of quarterback hits, generally. And since J.J. Torres Peck, they're not the same defense. They were a defense that could absorb the loss of Jadeveon Clowney after his conflict with the team, and they let him go for nothing, for pennies on the dollar, but they couldn't lose J.J. Watt. And I think it's going to be a fatal flaw for this team, ultimately, when we talk about them at the end of the season. If they'd had Watt, it would have been a lot different because the defense, it ceased to be special. They can't cover well enough. They've collected a lot of former first-round picks. No one's really playing to that level. Occasionally, Bradley Roby will flash the way he did against the Patriots. He played great against Tom Brady, but yeah, you're not really seeing. I mean, Jonathan Joseph is 35 years old. He is showing his age. We saw that when he couldn't get there on the Noah Fant play and tried to undercut it. He had the right idea. Body wouldn't cooperate. Couldn't get there. And honestly, I think it was really emblematic of where the secondary is. We saw how Kareem Jackson, someone that they did not offer a contract to as a free agent, and it was offensive to him, and he took it out on them last Sunday. Now he's the AFC Defensive Player of the Week. But, yeah, Mace, I think when you look at where they are as a defense, they are a struggling defense without Watt. And a lot of things that were benchmarks for them, including the run defense that's usually stingy, that's not necessarily there. I know Derrick Henry doesn't have a great track record against these guys. He's different this year, having a career-best season. It wouldn't surprise me if he was able to run the ball and get downhill on these guys.
Now, you spoke of and quickly. Is it sort of hindsight 2020? You know, you talked about Kareem Jackson and Jadeveon Clowney, that they didn't sign those guys back, especially Jadeveon Clowney, because he was a guy that was critical to what they were doing on defense.
Right. With Clowney, it became a situation where they didn't feel like he was all in. He wasn't really their style. And as you know, this is kind of a New England type of system, especially since they brought in Jack Easterby and they gave Bill O'Brien so much juice after firing the general manager, Brian Gaines. So it's more of a strict atmosphere. And he's a, you know, easygoing, kind of fun-loving guy that works hard. He's more of a gamer than a practice player. He could be, you know, a little lackadaisical here and there. Some things, too, like just even when he was playing, not breaking down. There were so many times he should have had the sack. I think those things frustrated them. But they were main thing, they couldn't agree on a contract. And the best offer he got from them was 5 years, $75 million. He wants to be paid in the $100 million like those guys like Khalil Mack and Marcus Lawrence, players like that. So they had a major disconnect on the contract, and then he wouldn't agree to trades with the Dolphins, and they finally worked out something with the Seahawks, which he loves. It's worked out for him, but they only got a third-round pick, and Jacob Barnum and Barkevious Mingo in exchange for very talented player, as a former top overall pick of the draft. With Kareem, they just didn't think that he could play corner. He was actually a little bit like Jonathan Joseph, where he couldn't get there, and then they were looking for something bigger at safety, and they got that with Tayshaun Gibson. Tayshaun Gibson's had a really good year. So, yeah, I only second-guess what I would have done with Clowney, you know, what the plan with Brian Gain was, just have him play this year under the tag, and then you probably move on. But I would have gotten this season out of him.
Aaron Wilson joining us here from the Houston Chronicle covering the Texans. And the Texans are third in the NFL in yards per carry on the ground. They're seventh, actually better than the Titans as far as rushing yards per game. What is this team's identity on offense? We know who Deshaun Watson is and DeAndre Hopkins, but they sort of go about it a very different way than the Titans do. It's not a traditional rushing offense. So how would you describe the identity of this team on offense?
Well, it's all built around Deshaun Watson and his talents, and that includes some run-pass option plays, some rollouts, and some just traditional pocket stuff that he will do where he's, you know, very accurate with the football, and he can buy time with his feet. He doesn't have a great offensive line in front of him, but he can make deficient players look pretty good because of his athleticism and just really the field awareness that he has and how smart he is. He's just a very talented quarterback. And sometimes what they do, they just have him run with it. Not as much as, say, the Ravens do with Lamar Jackson, but he's capable of making plays like that. When he looks to throw, DeAndre Hopkins is still his go-to guy. He's going to have most of the targets. And then the other guys, they're just involved kind of sporadically, whether it's Will Fuller, whose health is typically an issue and it has been the past few weeks, or Kenny Stills, who's a good guy on deep shots. They can very reliably throw to the tight ends, Darren Fells, he's got 7 touchdowns, Jordan Akins. Kiki Kuti is kind of a frustrating guy where sometimes he's a healthy scratch. This past week, it was his fumble that Kareem Jackson returned for a touchdown. And, you know, he's got to do a better job of holding on to the football. I look at their offense with Hyde and Johnson. They have a nice tandem. Carlos Hyde, who didn't fit into the Chiefs' plans, has been great for them. He's having an outstanding season, and he's a big back at 230, but he's got some wiggle. He can burst. He had a 60-yard run against the Jaguars. He's capable of getting in the open field and doing some things. Duke Johnson is more of like a receiver type out of the backfield. The New England game was probably his best game where he created some mismatches against Kyle Vannoy and caught a touchdown and got about 14 touches. But they've been trying to really get more out of Duke, and it's all really a product of playing time. And it's just sometimes because he's the sub back, they don't have quite as many plays for him. But, yeah, I think they have a nice running game. And one player they really miss is their right tackle, Titus Howard. He's their rookie first-round pick. And when he was shut down for the year with a meniscus that required surgery, they just don't really have a great right tackle. Chris Clark is 34 and is going to retire after this final season. And you have, you know, Rod Johnson that rotates behind him. They have a rotation at tackle. Most teams don't do that. They just stick with one guy. But, yeah, in my opinion, they've got some issues with the offensive line. They have not been able to fully fix that unit, and that's holding them back a little bit. But it's a dangerous offense. They have Deshaun Watson. That's really all that needs to be said.
Aaron Wilson, Houston Chronicle, thank you so much, man. And we'll see you here in Nashville in a couple days.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Aaron Wilson there. A lot of information from Aaron Wilson covering mm-hmm. the Houston Texans. What's your identity on offense? Well, Deshaun Watson's really good.
Yeah.
I like Dean Pease's chances. They were very good against him last year with Blaine Gabbert. They beat Deshaun Watson with Blaine Gabbert last year at Nissan Stadium. I think it was week 2 mm-hmm. Of the season. A couple of stats you need to know about the Houston Texans. What are their identities, and where can the Titans attack them? We'll get to that when we come back right here on Morning Drive. It is the season for giving, and 102.5 The Game is in the spirit. Donations of toys, winter clothing, or school supplies will be accepted now at the 102.5 The Game studios at 1824 Murfreesboro Pike in Nashville, right here where we're sitting. Donations will benefit our kids, OurKidsCenter.com, the homeless, and the Pencil Foundation. Next location to donate will be at the Sudden Service Convenience Store located at 8001 Briley Parkway in Nashville this Friday between 2 and 6 p.m. Plus, while there, you can enter to win a chance for a Winter Classic authentic jersey for the Preds there. For more information, visit thegamenashville.com or the Game Nashville app. 102.5 The Game's Season of Giving brought to you by Sudden Service Convenience Stores. And I think, you know, the defense is what it is. I think Romeo Crennel, as you mentioned, Derek, you've got a lot of respect for him and the job that he's done for the Houston Texans. He's an excellent coordinator. They did a great job for the New England Patriots, and then they completely just didn't show up. I mean, mm-hmm. it was 30-3 at halftime, 31-3 at halftime against the Broncos, and then 38-3 in the third quarter. You know, Deshaun Watson got some garbage time stats last week mm-hmm. for the Texans, but you know, they are a very good. They actually are a better rushing team than the Tennessee Titans. They have a better yards per carry, and they have a better yards per game rushing than the Titans do. They just do it in a totally different way.
Exactly.
Because Deshaun Watson can run, and not that Ryan Tannehill can't. He obviously can. But they want to feed Derrick Henry 23, 24, 25 times, whereas you're going to get 10 or 12 from Carlos Hyde, 5 or 6 or 8 from Duke Johnson, and then 5 or 6 or 8 from Deshaun Watson. They just go about it so differently when these two teams are on the field and playing offense.
Yeah, they do. You know, Hyde and Johnson. And Johnson is more, he can get you the yardage out the backfield, meaning catch the ball as well. He did it when he was in Cleveland, but Cleveland just, they chose to go a different direction because they brought in, you know, they drafted a running back, and then they went out and got Kareem Hunt to be their backup. So he was sort of the odd man out, but he's a good back. Is he a great back? No, he's a good back that can give you that sort of out of the backfield dimension that I think you need in today's NFL. But the Titans have done a good job at, you know, stopping the run. They haven't been great, but they've done a good job at stopping the run.
I mean, top 10 in the NFL, 10th in the NFL in yards rushing there, 101 yards per game, and 8th in the NFL in yards per carry defense. Four yards a carry is pretty good.
Exactly. So, I mean, are they the defense they were last year, meaning the Titans? No, but they're still a good defense. And they have to make Houston one dimensional. We saw what happened last year with the big run Houston had last year versus the Titans. What was like a 90-some yard run?
Oh, 98?
Lamar Miller? Yeah, Miller had last year, and they dominated the run game last year. The Titans can't allow that to happen this year.
Yeah.
They got to stop the run, and they got to be able to run the football against a defense that's aging and that's not playing well, you know?
Yeah. So I think that Ryan Tannehill and this Titans offense will find some space. Now, how healthy is A.J. Brown's ankle? How healthy is Derrick Henry? We'll find out more today with the practice report. I think the bigger questions are in the secondary because if you're going up against Nuke Hopkins and a couple of really dependable tight ends – how healthy is Fuller is also a big question for the Houston Texans. And then, you know, Duke Johnson is a really dangerous weapon out of the backfield. So I wonder, with tight ends that are dependable and a running back like Johnson that can really play in space as a receiver, and Deshaun Watson, a guy who likes to run around, to me this feels like a Kevin Byard, Jayon Brown, those guys that are space athletes on that defense. Certainly, you got to have all the other stuff, right? You got to have good coverage under DeAndre Hopkins. You know, Malcolm Butler, by the way, did a pretty good job on him.
Yeah,
last year, and then you know, Harold Landry is going to have to continue to develop. You know, Jarrell Casey, all the mainstays are going to have to be good. But it feels like a space game.
Yes,
with dependable tight ends. You know, Duke Johnson and Deshaun Watson; those guys are going to get into space around the line of scrimmage, and they're going to make plays in those areas. And the guys who generally neutralize that is a guy like Jayon Brown. Maybe even some Rashawn Evans and Kevin Byard. Those guys in the middle of the field, spying the quarterback, spying the backs out of the backfield, that to me strikes me as a really critical area for Dean Pease this weekend.
Yeah, it is. How do you keep Deshaun Watson from extending those plays, from taking off and running? Even though Deshaun Watson doesn't do it a lot, you still got to have somebody assigned or responsible for him, responsible for Duke Johnson coming out of the backfield and catching the football. We believe Jayon Brown is one of the better young linebackers in this league, and he's gotten better each and every year, not just, you know, covering guys, but also being a tackler within his defense, being a playmaker within this defense, a guy that's sort of undersized at that position. So, you know, how do you keep from letting Deshaun Watson totally take over the game? And as an offense, because you know Romeo Crennel is going to come out with something. He's going to do something.
Right. Too experienced not
exactly.
to have a plan.
He's going to do something, you know, just like he did versus New England. He's going to have a plan to try to take away A.J. Brown and Derrick Henry. He's going to force you to beat them other ways. This is a game where I believe, because I don't think in 6 or 7 games, the Titans or Ryan Tannehill has faced a defensive coordinator like Romeo Crennel that can, you know, he's sort of like Bill Belichick. They do these certain things that kind of take away certain individuals and force you to look for everyone else to make plays. Well, this is going to really put a test to Ryan Tannehill, I believe, in the passing game. I think it is, because he's going to mix it up.
I mean, is it weird to just feel like the bottom's going to fall out on this offense? Like, there's no way that they can...
At this clip...
There's no way they can keep this up. But you also want
a hell of a clip.
But
too,
you also want to ride the wave and enjoy it while you can. I just, like, that's not my job. My job's not a fan. My job isn't to be a fan.
Exactly.
I don't sit up here and like root for or against. I'm happy to see them do well. I always want to see teams in my city do well because it makes living in the city more fun.
Exactly.
But I'm not a fan of the Tennessee Titans. I'm a fan of individuals, people, coaches, you know, men and women. But it's like almost impossible. Like
can they keep this up?
It's almost impossible. And it's the Tennessee Titans. So I'm like, I'm waiting for the bottom to fall out at any moment. And I'm so happy to be wrong about how good they've been. Everyone, even if you liked Ryan Tannehill, you're wrong about how good this offense was because you didn't see this coming. No one saw this coming. I just saw a headline on the NFL Network on the TV up here that was asking a question, Brady or Tannehill, ? And I looked at you and I pointed and I said, what?
That shouldn't even be a conversation. That shouldn't be a conversation.
But that is how well he's playing.
Yeah, you're right.
And that's how well the offense is doing. And so I'm sitting there going, well, what are they going to do to make us realize that this is actually the Tennessee Titans again? And that feels like a terrible way to approach this. That's totally cynical. And I feel like a bad person just saying it.
Well, no.
But like, there's just no way you can maintain this clip. But I think they're going to play well this weekend at home.
I think I believe in this. I believe in what they're doing. Now, granted, I don't think they can. Because this is historic. What they're doing is historic. It has been proven. The numbers, it's historic. The way Tannehill is playing, not many quarterbacks have played this way.
It was the most efficient offensive performance the franchise has ever had last week. So literally ever.
So these are historic numbers. Do I think they can play at this historic pace for the next 3 games? Probably not. But I think they can play at a high level. Not a historic level, at a high level, because of the way they run the football.
Right.
You know, everything is predicated off of how well they run the football. Now, Derrick Henry
he better be healthy.
Yeah, he was a little bit limp last week, you know, with the hamstring. If he's healthy, then I believe this offense can continue to be efficient. Efficient at a historic level, probably not, but still efficient enough to win football games.
That's a huge game. Special teams, I still have a huge concern about that. I don't know how long you can keep going without a field goal kicker in the NFL. That's a risky maneuver, too. So, again, I know that maybe I'm just a cynic and I've watched the Titans since they've been here, and I'm just cynical about it. But let's see what happens this weekend. It should be a huge game. When we return, Preds with a huge win last night. What happened at Bridgestone Arena? And only a few minutes left to get involved for the Moments Peace Salon and Day Spa $100 gift card at 1025_MD. A lot of heartfelt stories there. The question, of course, is up on the Twitter account at 1025_MD. Why does your significant other deserve the $100 gift card? And a lot of just really heartfelt stories that we can't read all of them on the air. So we'll get to a few of those when we return. And the Preds win at Bridgestone when we come back. Morning Drive, ESPN 1025, The Game. Are you singing the words? Listen to Derek Mason singing Jason Isbell.
Does he even know the words?
I want to hear the words.
Jason Isbell. Jason Isbell.
He sort of was singing the words.
That's sort of kind of singing the words.
But the only line you knew was, that's why I reach for the harder stuff.
That's the only indictment on me away.
Probably. It's probably a deeply rooted insight into your soul.
Oh, man.
Probably. Nashville Predators win 3-1. We're going to give away the Moments Peace Salon and Day Spa $100 gift card here in just a few minutes. Again, tweet at 1025_MD. The text line is up. Got a lot of good questions. One of those was, before we get to the Preds, one of those was about the mentality in the locker room, and I wanted to ask you on the game text line there, 615-737-1025. The question was sort of, what's the mentality in the locker room when you enter a game like this? How do you manage the nerves? Because your goal as a professional athlete is to treat every game the same. And as soon as you realize, because you played in a Super Bowl, as soon as you realize the Super Bowl is just another football game, that's when you can play well, right? Like, you can just ignore everything else and say, it's just a football game. It's blocking and tackling, running and catching and passing and all that stuff. this is a huge game, but these guys have trained for this their whole lives on both sides, Texans and Titans. This is just another day at the office on Sunday, right?
Yeah, but you do understand that, you know, the implications of this game is big. And yes, it is another game, but it has different meaning. It's another game. It's part of the season, but it has a different meaning. Because if we lose this game, now we put ourselves in a position where we got to win the next two games. There's no, okay, we can lose this game.
Right. There's no margin for
exactly. Yeah. You have none whatsoever. If you don't get, at least get this game. If you don't get this game, then you have no margin for error moving forward. So, yes, it is another game, but with the implications are different, greater stakes. And they understand that in that locker room. They understand this is their playoffs. This is the play. The next 3 weeks is the playoffs for them.
They've been in the playoffs since Tannehill took over.
Yeah.
I mean, every game that we talked about it every week. What's at stake? Well, you get to live to play another week while you're in contention.
This is the playoff
and now
run
you're,
for them.
Now you're in contention.
Yeah, this is the playoff run for them. And they understand it. They realize it. And, you know, we will, if we were to ask, you know, Vrabel, he'd give us, you know, coach speak. You know, we're just worried about one game at a time. No, we understand that. But you understand, too, that this is your playoffs, right? The next three games. This is the only way you get in the playoffs is that you beat Houston twice.
And to add to that, basically, and you mentioned this earlier, that the Texans are coming in with the same mentality because it's important for them too. But the difference between the two teams is the Texans got the Bucs in the next game, a Bucs team without Mike Evans anymore. He's out for the season. So
how healthy is Winston?
And how healthy is Winston? So your tougher, your middle ground of these two games is the Saints. Theirs are the Bucs. So and that also makes a huge separation between the two.
The other difference is how you both played last week.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the Titans played the best offensive game in the history of their franchise.
Mm-hmm.
And the Broncos and the Texans played one of the worst games in the history of their franchise.
Mm-hmm.
I would guess that the Titans come back down a little bit because you can't expect the greatest performance of all time 2 weeks in a row. That's just
and
irrational.
And it's a divisional foe.
And there's no way that the Texans are going to play as bad as they were last week. Mm-hmm. So just you kind of have to wipe the slate clean. And Vrabel talked about it as well. Like, hey, they're 8-5, but that's not the goal. Mm-hmm. And you don't. The goal isn't 9-7 again. The goal is the Super Bowl. Like that, that's what the goal is. And they're playing as well as anybody right now. National Predators also back playing pretty good hockey. They win 3-1 last night against the San Jose Sharks. Not a great opponent, but a team with some talent and got a little feisty there at the end of the second period. Was very, I mean, I'm just going to say boring the first two periods. It was, I think the Predators had one shot on goal in the first minute of the second period and didn't have another shot on goal for like 17 minutes. And then there were like 16 fights at the end of the second period. And it looked like the entire roster was in the penalty box at one point for both teams. And it got real crazy in the final minute of the second period. And I think that shot them out of a cannon in the third period. They score three goals. UC Saros makes two or three huge saves in the third period. The power play gets them a marker as well. And they pick up 2 points. And they're now 5-1-2 in their last eight. So for the time being, Derek, the ship has been righted, for lack of a better cliche.
Yes, it has been. And, you know, it's a long season. And, you know, you can have a 5-6 game losing streak. Can't have too many of them, but you can have a period within your season where, you know, you're struggling. But you got to make those games up. And I think the Preds are starting to make it up. I think they're starting to get used to, at this point, settled in to not having Victor Arvidsson. UC Saros is playing really good. I think Pekka will come back to form. He played good in his last two outings. I think he will come back to form. Those players that are the big-time players, Johansson, Duchesne, guys like that, they need to play. Yossi, they need to continue to play big.
Yeah.
And, you know, right now. So, but I think they're doing a good job.
Grantland back in the lineup last
Grantland
night.
Back
played
in the lineup.
Well.
Benino's playing
Kyle Turris on the wing.
Yeah.
Which is good. Good
so
to see.
They need these guys to continue to play well if they're going to dig themselves out of this hole they're in right now. If they can do it, it's a long season. But they're going to have to continue to play good hockey, good defensive hockey, because we know they can score with anybody.
We will pick a winner for the $100 gift card to a Moments Peace Salon and Day Spa coming up in a few minutes in the final segment of the show. But here are a few examples. Again, the question today, at 1025_MD, why does your significant, very simple, why does your significant other deserve this? And some of these are really tough to read, and so I respect people putting their personal lives out there and on the line to earn their spouses a potential you know, hour-long massage and pedicure, manicure, all that good stuff that comes with the gift card. Scott on Twitter got us started this morning with she has to live with me through another football season. While my wife agrees with that, mm-hmm. I don't think that deserves the gift card. Nah. But that's how we got started. Tammy, the only one who talked about her husband, by the way. My husband deserves this because he just got a promotion at work, but mostly because he holds it all down while I work full time and go to school full time. I'm literally zero help to him, and he has a fun job also keeping me sane. The fact that she's the only female that asked for the gift card for her husband is some points. But, like, sounds like he's doing pretty well. Got a promotion, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know if I'm going to put that on there. Mancard Matt, who, of course, has your name tattooed on his hindquarters. Literally. She puts up with me, and as y'all know, I'm a little weird. We have nine children between us.
Oh, good Lord.
And she works her beautiful booty off to make sure we all have what we need. She's a mother, a friend, something else, and above all, she deals with me. I mean, my butt was on Twitter. Hello. So, Mancard Matt right there. James on Twitter, my wife deserves to be pampered because she is the most selfless human being on earth and would probably give it to someone else she believes is more deserving. If that's true, she would be very deserving. But I don't know if my wife would give it to somebody else. I mean, she would use it. I would tell her to use it. I'd be like, babe, you need to be more selfish. I'm okay with that. A lot of taking care of kids on here. So many people that have been through health issues. You know, pregnancy issues, a lot of really serious stuff. So you got a few more minutes. We'll decide on a winner over the break. And when we come back, we'll give you an announcement here. But you guys were great. Marshall, Daryl, Caleb, Adam, all you great people. Timothy, actually, and I don't know, Marquise, do we have the audio on this? Timothy, actually, I don't know. Is this cheating to film a video of your son asking for the gift card? Because I give points for creativity. Well, I give points for creativity, but here was Timothy who sent in a video of his son in an effort to win the gift card.
My mommy deserves the gift card because she always sacrifices people. sacrifices for other people. And I want her to have something for her.
Okay,
Let's hear the beginning again. Listen closely. Listen very closely to this audio.
My mommy deserves the gift card because she always sacrifices people.
Sacrifices people.
Oh my! I'm like, are y'all in some weird?
It's like the Temple of Doom.
Oh my goodness!
Oh, that was funny. Now here's what I'll say. I appreciate the creativity there. Video, audio, multimedia performance, getting the sun involved.
Mm-hmm.
You may call it cheating. I call it awesome.
But to say, now if the son was genuine, yeah, and you weren't
can't
in the
fault the kid for getting the words wrong.
I know, yeah. But you can't be in the background. No. You gotta say this.
I think you needed to correct him there.
Yeah, you gotta correct
you gotta
him because
correct
you
him.
Can't walk away saying we sacrifice people.
Or at least do the video over again.
Yeah, maybe that's
yeah,
right.
Do the video
over. No, that's
over,
a good
yes.
point. I would have shot the video again. You're right. Take two.
Take two, son. All right.
Let's try this one again.
Macaulay Culkin struggled sometimes too at acting, so it's
sacrifice
all good.
People. Oh my goodness.
Oh man. Elliot on Twitter, my wife is a nurse practitioner and mother of a 5-year-old diva, a 19-month-old Tasmanian devil, and me, a 32-year-old man child. Flu season is hellacious for her at work. She deserves the world, but some time to herself at an awesome place is a great start. So that's a good high quality explanation there. A little funny too, making fun of yourself. Self-deprecation always works in a marriage, mm-hmm. that's for sure. So there's a couple other, by the way, I misspoke. There's a couple other females in here that were asking for their husbands. So give some credit there. Let's see here. Alondra, I'm a fan and it's rare to get a response about a man, but my husband works hard and drives over an hour from Clarksville to Nashville Monday through Friday. He never complains, always smiles, and still makes time to serve others. Thanks to the morning drive for keeping him entertained. So there we go. Both husband and wife listening to the show. We
You're
like
welcome.
That.
both of you guys.
And boom. Well, I would say thank you for listening.
Yeah, thank you for listening.
Yeah, we appreciate it.
You don't need to say you're welcome to people.
You're welcome, man. They say thank you, I say you. You say you're welcome. Somebody says thank you, so you're welcome.
That's
and then
true.
I say
That's
thank
true.
You.
Joe says my wife is a stay-at-home mother. We have 5 children. One of them's adopted. Obviously kept a strict budget to allow her to be at home. Between family and volunteering, she works hard, maintains busier schedule than most people. She constantly puts everyone above herself. I'm always amazed at people in this city, by the way. Just amazing people. There's a few that I cannot read on the air. There's also a few that are almost too serious to read as well.
Yeah.
So we'll make a decision during the break, and we will announce the winner when we come back right here on Morning Drive. ESPN 102.5 The Game. We're going to make you laugh and make you cry this segment. We're going to give away a $100 Moments Peace Day Spa gift card coming up in just a few minutes. But first, we'll make you laugh at listening to what took place on the show today. Time for the rewind. Good Wednesday morning. This is Morning Drive on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Nashville Predators winners last night 3-1 over the San Jose Sharks, of course. Derek Mason, Braden Gall, Marquise Munson producing here on the show. We've got a big Wednesday planned for you. I'm not good at the math, Derek, but if there are 10 total and we've given away 2, that means there are 8 left, I believe.
Yeah. You got 10 toes. They cut off 1. They cut off 2. How many you got?
Dude, I'll get you a toe. I'll get you a toe by 3 o'clock this afternoon with nail polish. I'll get you a toe.
There you go. Boom.
Do either one of you get that reference? No.
I know. I was going to fake it, but
that
no.
These are, in my head.
It's all right. You guys start talking about stuff sometime, and I'm like, what are y'all talking about?
That so. One in my head.
We're all about diversity here on the show. Different experiences through life and different understanding. Now, that's The Big Lebowski, the greatest movie of all time. I'll get you a toe. I'll get you a toe by 3 o'clock this afternoon with nail polish. You guys are still looking at me crazy.
I know that movie now.
The Big Lebowski is so good. Calmer than you are. Calmer than you are, Derek. Mm. Actually, nobody's calmer than you. You're like one of the calmest dudes I've ever met in my life.
Guys are pulling their weight on the team. And, you know, that has to happen when somebody like Victor Arvidsson goes down and you're trying to, you know, replace him. They're playing good defense right now. They're hustling to the puck. They're playing physical. They're doing the little things that they were not doing in the 7-game losing streak. That's going to continue to win games for them. Still a long season, and I'm sure there's going to be some ebb and flows, but right now they're proving that they're sort of in their stride right now, even though it's only 2 games. They've only won 2 games in a row, but since that slide, what, they won 5 or 6? So they're itching their way back up in the standings. And, you know, that's all you want is to put yourself in a position at the halfway mark where you're in the playoffs or, you know, one of the better teams in the National Hockey League.
Derek knows every word of this song.
Man, you can't beat an LL Cool J. Yeah.
So do I.
I do not, but I do like that song.
We've been waiting and debating for oh so long. Just starving like Marvin for a Cool J song.
Man, that was the joint back in the day. Man.
Derek is so excited he just broke his headphones.
God, that was the joint back in the day.
What year did this come out?
Because I make a lot of money and your boyfriend don't. That's also a line on this song. That's disrespectful.
That's totally disrespectful. Like, gosh, what are you going to say after that?
Nothing. Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Derek Mason, Braden Gall, LL Cool J producing back there. Greg Wyshynski joining us here.
It's taken a little bit of time to round into form. On paper, still one of the most talented teams in the Western Conference. Just that the Western Conference has been a little topsy-turvy in the first third of the season. I think all of us are pretty confident they're going to be a playoff team. It was just a matter of trying to find their footing. And so far in the last 5 games, like you said, the results have been a little bit of an uptick, and that's a good thing to see. When you take a critical look at the Predators' numbers during that stretch and during their struggles this season and see their team save percentage down in like the 880s, which is not what you expect when you have Pekka and UC Soros back there. So not only from the perspective of the Predators not being in a playoff spot, but also just the failings of what many of us assumed was going to be one of the real strengths of the team between the pipe, I think was a pretty big surprise.
Aaron Wilson from the Houston Chronicle.
It was always going to come down to just the way Titans have been playing and the Texans have played fine. They just haven't, you know, run away with the division. We were going to always have this scenario of these 2 games being pivotal. Who's going to win the South Division? And that's where we are. But would it shock me if they came out and played very well Sunday, lost the game? Just don't think they'll play the way they did last week. I think that would be surprising if they're bad 2 weeks in a row. It's somewhat a little bit surprising to me. What I anticipate is them getting back to at least playing some competitive football, and you know, see what happens. But yeah, in my opinion, they won't look as bad as they did last week. They can't. They just, it's unlikely that they would look that awful. It was terrible.
This is going to be a game that whoever converts third down will win. Whoever converts the most third downs will win. But more importantly, I think for the Tennessee Titans, because of their secondaries banged up, this bend but not break philosophy is going to have to kick in really hard. Because if Adoree Jackson is not 100%, if Sims, even though Smith has played well, if Sims can't come back, then now you're putting a lot of stress again on those guys up front to get to Deshaun Watson. And getting to him, he has this innate ability to extend the play and buy himself a little bit more time. So because your secondary is banged up, this bend but not break principle that the Titans, you know, they have, sort of, it's going to have to really kick in this game.
Who, on any given Sunday, this is what concerns me, because I'm with you. Everything says Titans are surging, Titans are playing great on offense, they're at home, they got the code blue, whatever the hell that means. All this stuff, there's momentum and energy and passion, and the offense is clicking and the defense and all this stuff. You don't want to play teams that just got their butts kicked. I have a feeling that Texans are motivated and are going to play very well. They've got everything to play for, too. They've got a risk of losing the division this weekend. This is going to be a really, really hard game.
Well, I've embellished a sickness because I was hungover at a said job within the last 20 years.
Only had two.
Yeah, and I said I was...
It was the Big Ten Network.
I said I was sick. I still went to work, but I said I had food poisoning, and it really wasn't food poisoning.
So you were going to the bathroom puking, and it was...
Yeah, it was because I had a hangover.
And you don't drink it very much. You're not
This is a while ago, like, well, a long while ago.
So you're working with Willie or you're working with me?
Neither one. This is a long...
This is Big Ten Network.
I'm telling Saban.
This is before I even got into... the radio.
So this was football?
Yeah. I'm not going to say which team it was.
I'm telling Saban.
It could have been college.
It could have been pro. That's why Floyd didn't re-sign you.
But I still went to practice.
See, when I get married one day, I'm probably going to have a very generic proposal because I'm a, you know, generic person.
You're not generic.
I may do it smooth, like, hey, girl, you want to marry me?
Hey, girl.
You think that's how it's going to work?
Want to jump the broom?
As long as you're not planning more than, like, five words, you're fine. If you plan more than five words, you will screw it up.
Yeah. Just marry me, girl.
And I don't mean
girl.
You. I mean everybody screws it up.
Just marry me, girl. Dang.
Exactly. So, like, you want to do this
don't
or
got
what?
History?
You want to do this or what?
You want to tie that knot?
You want to tie that knot?
Do that double ring?
All right, I made you laugh, hopefully, if you listen to us knuckleheads for a while. All right, now it's time to give away our $100 gift card to a Moments Peace Salon and Day Spa. Really amazing, all of you. So many, we would love to be able to give this to all of you because there's so many of you that spoke so highly of your spouses and all the things they've overcome and dealt with. So please, if you do not win today, continue to listen every day this week and next week. We're going to give away a gift card every single day, and we'll give you guys another opportunity. So many great responses. The big winner today, however, we're going with New Heights Services. My wife, after going through two miscarriages over the last year, had the baby, needed medication in the pregnancy. Strongest woman I know, her and the baby are doing great now and healthy, but it's been a long struggle. So at New Heights Services, which I hope is a human, not a business, gets the gift card. Congratulations. This is why you listen to Morning Drive, because we try to take care of you guys. For Derek, Marquise, my name's Braden. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be back tomorrow.
Bailey, DJ Nashville, stay warm and I love ya.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
Stop the podcast!
Stop the podcast!
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I got to say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton.
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 weeks in August is finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.